Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Asir Muhammad calling from our show, Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School.com. Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School.com. And in the second hour, reparations in memory of our ancestors. This is going on our second day of broadcasting, and we're going to open up in prayer. Alhamdulillah. Let's see what we got here. All praises be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's see what we got here. Allahu Akbar. Okay, praise be to Allah. Yeah. Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. This is a internet site. It is not a brick and mortar site, not yet. We are attempting to gain control of our masjid here in California, Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah. We're attempting to do that, and we are going through it. Alhamdulillah. The imam, Ayman Abdul Majid, he passed. His assistant brother, his assistant passed. The emir of the masjid passed. You know, and Brother Bashir, who's a longtime member of the masjid, he passed. And Sister J. Wahida had to resign because of health reasons. So we attempted to organize ourselves and reorganize the masjid, Bilal Ibn Rabah, here at 5450 Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles. So we are attempting to do that. This is why we've been meeting and holding our meetings and doing all we can to organize ourselves. As you know, we might have to go to court, so we are prepared for that, and we keep on our minutes. We're meeting and everything, and we're still appealing to the to Brother Hatim here in Los Angeles to do the right thing and let's reorganize the masjid and replace all the people who have passed in the last 18 months or so at the masjid. So, build Sister Claire Muhammad schools. Don't build masjids. Imam W.D. Muhammad told us, build Sister Claire Muhammad schools. Don't build masjids. Hold your prayers in the school. Hold your prayer in the school, meaning make education your priority. Make education your priority. Hold the prayer in the school. Hopefully at some point we could get Brother Rashad, who is an architect, to draw up some plans, some sketches of Sarah Muhammad School that we could lend out to other communities across the nation. But we don't want to build masjids. We want to build schools and hold our prayers at the schools, hold our childbirths, our childbirth celebrations at the school, hold our weddings at the school. And if it's expenses, if it's a cost, you know, you give money to the school, the business people or the civic-minded people, civic people, you hold your meetings at the school, you know, and you pay the school what you would ordinarily pay to rent an office or something to have your meetings. And you have your gatherings at the school, you know, and you have your festivities at the school. And the money that you would ordinarily pay someone else, you keep it in the family and you bring that money to the school. Even that, even our food and our toiletries and things like paper towels, toilet paper, feminine products, have that at the school. So people wouldn't have to go to Boys Market, Ralph's Market, Albertsons, or whatever to buy those type of products. Milk, cheese, bread, you would have that at the school. And you would go there to the school and purchase these items. And so the school could make the profit, you know, alhamdulillah. So you would keep your children in mind and their welfare in mind first. Their welfare. You know. So your children won't have to go to public school. So your children could come to the Muslim school, the Sister Claire Muhammad STEM school, and pray and learn to read the Quran in its original, in the Arabic. You know, and your child will be able to make the prayers at the school, you know, and nobody could come and bring some of this filthy music that they listen to, you know. So your child won't have to go to public school. And also weekend school, but if some children have to go or are in public school, you'll be able to reach out to them and bring them in so they could get some Islamic information and education on the weekends. So this is what we mean by build Sister Claire Muhammad schools, not masjid. Education is our priority. And one of the things that we want to do is tonight we do a text blast and contact the other Sister Claire Muhammad School, so they'll be able to call in the morning here and listen to what we have to say and what Imam Muhammad told us to do and have some input. And we'll have some camaraderie, you know, when other Sister Claire Muhammad schools know that it's a radio, a blog talk radio show dedicated to listening to the various Sister Claire Muhammad schools. So I'm going to reach out this week and starting today and try to talk to the Claire Muhammad schools and have them know that they could call in and talk to somebody and tell us what's going on. And we'll support them. Time goes on. And if more and more people, and if more and more people call in to our radio show, maybe what we'll do is for the first half hour. Maybe what we'll do the Sister Claire Muhammad School. That way we could do it every day, and then dedicate an hour and a half to reparations. Talk about that, because that is very important. Reparations is, you know, in memory of our ancestors. And one brother was saying that we should expand and get on YouTube, do a YouTube channel. Alhamdulillah. So all this is coming. Praise be to Allah. You know. So this is our show. DeVille Sister Claire Muhammad STEM Schools, not last year. This is the first half hour or so. This is what we're going to talk to. So if anybody wants to press one on your phone, press one on your phone. I'll see you. I'll bring you into the conversation here. Press one on your phone. Otherwise, alhamdulillah, this is what we'll do. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother Rashad. Allahu Akbar. So, brother Rashad, assalamu alaikum. Is that you? Assalamu alaikum, brother Rashad. Okay. So, one of the things that we had talked about is different fundraising ideas. And one of the fundraising ideas that we had thought about is doing 10,000 people at $5, 10,000. In other words, reach out to 10,000 people and have 10,000 people donate to the education of the Sister Claire Muhammad schools nationally. So that would take some help from Muslim Journal, and this is what we are going to do, reach out to Muslim Journal and have them maybe run an article or do an interview with us and into that outreach. 10,000 at $5, you know, because $5 is not a lot of money, and we could do that. And that was a great idea. So we are going to do these things, inshallah, in time. And if anybody wants to say something, reach out. Just press one on your phone. We'll see your hand raised. We'll bring you into the conversation. Yes. And this is Sister Claire Muhammad, STEMschool.com. Sister Claire Muhammad, STEMschool.com. And reparations in memory of our ancestors. Yeah, praise each other. So right now, we've been broadcasting about 15 minutes. It's 5:16. And I think what we'll do is we'll go into the reparations hour at 5:30. So in time, that's what we'll do. We'll commit our first half hour to the Sister Claire Muhammad efforts and then go into something that I'm very excited about, reparations in memory of our ancestors. And alhamdulillah. But education is priority, and we should have a feel for our children and what they're going through. Assalamu alaikum. I see 323-834. I'll bring you in. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, well, I'm looking at Islam. Yeah, this is Rashad here in Los Angeles. Yeah, man, I was thinking about that 5, you know, the school, if we get 10,000 people minimum to give $5 a month, that'll be $50,000. So that's a lot of funds, you know, and if that could be, you know, get that off the ground some kind of way, in order to raise funds, I guess, to have a 501c3 in order to legally raise funds, I guess there's no other way to do it than, yeah, for tax purposes, I guess, you know. But, yeah, that would be a good, if that could be, you know, get that off the ground some kind of way, you know, real, real good fundraising methods. I think everybody, just about, who's eating, you know, and going about, you know, if they're not just totally homeless and broke and on the streets and out of doors, can, you know, $5 a month or whatever, you know, because there's a lot of us, millions of us, even $1 a month, you know, from a million people, 100,000 people. $1 a month, that's still a lot of money. 50,000 people, 100,000 a month, you know, anything, you know, so hundreds of us, yeah, get it off the ground some kind of way, you know.
Yeah, I can see it coming now because we're making headway, and I have to go down to the post office and open up that P.O. box. We got the 501c3. It's called Good Brothers of America Incorporated. So it's coming, brother. And what we're going to do, I'll reach out to Muslim Journal. It's a brother named Mark Shahir. And that's him that he can start running articles in the Muslim Journal talking about 10,000 at 5. 10,000 at 5, so alhamdulillah. It's coming now, so, you know, you can see things opening up now. You can see things opening up. So let me ask you, do you have some plans already made up that you could maybe tweak and do a Sister Claire Muhammad school with a multi-purpose room that we could use as you take the chairs away, Zuma, Charlene's, in the school facility?
I could lay something out. I mean, I have some drawings, you know, but elevation, you know, in other words, elevation drawings that show how it would look from the exterior, how it can look from the exterior. But in terms of floor plans, that's what you need. Yeah, I could lay something out, you know.
Drawing number. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's coming now. Crazy to love. Yeah, man. Yeah. Did you know that? We'll wait to talk about some of the things I want to talk about. It's 5:21, so we got about another 9 minutes to talk about education, and then we'll go into reparations. Because I'm looking at general order number 3. Ain't that something? I'm looking at some good stuff here. General order number 3. General order number 3 was the June 1965 was the date that means so much to Texas. On that day in Galveston, Texas, slaves learned that they were free, but actually realizing that freedom, it didn't come easy, so sure more. Yeah, it looks back at the meaning of Juneteenth and its history here in Southeast Texas. All right, bro. Yeah. Do you know that Biden, when he is the sister, they call her the mother of Juneteenth in Texas. that Biden got on his knees and talked to her and told her story about how her home was firebombed by racists and stuff. Yeah, man. So I'm thinking, man, that I'm Democratic now. I'm getting that Trump stuff out of my consciousness. Because this, other than the worship of Allah and our moral and ethical character, other than that and our faith in Allah, it's nothing more important than us fighting for our reparations now. Our reparations now. You know? It's nothing more important other than our faith and the prayer to Allah and our character, our moral compass. It's nothing more important. You know? So, I was listening to yesterday. It was a show by Imam Michael Sahir, Words Make People, come on at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And he did a thing about gay. The show was entitled, What Do You Tell Your Children About LGBTQ Plus and All Like That? And How Do You Talk to Your Children? And I heard these people calling in how they would talk to their children. But I thought about it. The best thing that you could do to help your children when it comes down to LGBTQ and all like that is tell them what the scripture says. Just tell them what Allah says. Just tell them the truth. That it isn't something that Allah approves of. You know, show them to them in the Bible. What it says in the Bible, but the Bible is harsh and stuff. They talk about killing people, men sleeping with a man. They're talking about killing people, the Bible. But Allah says it's not. And also the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Tell your children that story. And to tell them what the Bible says. And tell them what the Holy Quran says. And let them come up on that and tell them as they live their life, and if life is good to them or not, it's because of the morality, because Allah says that heaven starts in this life and hell starts in this life. And if you're going through your life and you're catching hell, look at your behavior. Look at your life, you see. So that's what I would do. And that's what I do with my daughters. I tell them, you know, this is the age of this homosexuality, lesbianism, you know, the homosexual, you know. And I know all that stuff is coming at them. And I tell them, though. I tell them what the Holy Quran say. And I tell them what the Bible say, and I can't do no more than that, you know. And I let Allah take care of them from there, you know. Just tell the truth. But I fear Allah based on what's in the Holy Quran, and they should too. So, and if they want to obey Allah, Allah says, you know, gives us a story about Lot. We call him Lut, the Holy Quran. And I'm going to read up on also Sodom and Gomorrah. Understand that story. Yeah, so it is 5:27. So we got about 3 more minutes and we could wrap up the education hour, then we go into Juneteenth and talk about why we feel that reparations are at hand. They're coming. It's because of the different climate, especially when President Biden signed Juneteenth into law, federal law, and people, banks and schools, post offices, any federal establishments, any national establishments, people get off work, paid leave, paid holiday. That's why, that's another reason why, you know, alhamdulillah, ilaha illallah. So it's 5:28. Brother Rashad, you want to comment some more?
Well, well, alhamdulillah, I think that, of course, these things are needed, both the schools and for, you know, children, and definitely teaching the Quran and what is exemplified in the Bible as well about, you know, the crisis today of gender confusion and what's going on out there. That's definitely a must, man, because it's, you know, Shaitan has vowed to Allah that he would lead astray as many as he can. And, of course, we read and was taught about the reason why babies cry as soon as they're born is that they feel this sting of Satan as soon as they're born, man. So Satan is there from the time they're born until the time we die. You know, Satan is there to try and lead as many astray as he can. So, yeah, man, that's a big fight. We got to save our children, you know. So, and Satan knows, Satan's wise. He knows that if he could start that falsehood with the children, get that stuff in their brains in elementary school, then he feels that, well, he got, we could plant that seed from elementary school to junior high school to high school, and then by the time they get ready to college and go into the workforce, then he got them, man. So, yeah, it's a fight that has to be done. That's why they try to have those reading sessions for children, you know, transgender readings for children, because they're trying to get the developing mind that can't distinguish, you know, the values properly, you know, because they're too young to understand the implications and the ramifications of that kind of stuff, you know. But if they could get them when they're young, by the time they get out of high school and go into college and into the workforce, and Satan knows he got them. So we got to, that's okay, nip it in the bud. And in Islamic countries, they don't play around with that. They don't. They get rid of them quick. They don't play around. So yeah, that's a big war we got. That's why we got to have our own schools, and also we got to have representatives that represent good basic Judeo-Christian Islamic morality, you know, as from the Abrahamic faiths. You know, you got to have representatives in government that stand up for that. So that's a big fight, man. Big, big, huge fight. A future representation.
Yeah, man. So what's happening on that gay front? They're making their a lot of people are really trying to resist the power of the gay lobby, you know?
Yeah. It's a big fight out there, man. It's a big fight, man. Shaitan has picked an area that he feels he can make inroads So, you know, that's an area where you feel you can make inroads. And, you know, he got a lot of them so confused that the suicide rate is up among young people in that gender identity crisis that they're going through. They don't know how to fit in. You know, they hear one thing from this person, another thing from that person, and, you know, they're not solidly grounded. They took prayer out of schools, you know, so Shaitan, you know, got that. So suicide rate is up among them, and just among, you know, others that just confused, man, don't know who to turn, because when you're young, man, you got your whole life ahead of you. But if you're so confused to not be able to see a future for yourself and how to get away from the conflict that you're into, you haven't been taught you have a future life after death. You know, they want to take prayer out of schools, but they're not thinking about their souls and the eternal life. And well, people only think, well, man, I'm going through so much hell. There's nothing but the rest of my life. I'll be going through this for the rest of my life. Just one crisis after another, one hell after another, and there's nothing else. And they say, well, man, I don't need this. And then Satan got them and go head on and have them to lose their, you know, the good life and cause the stress for their families and everything else. So it's a real important battle, man, the children and the gender identity crisis. And it's a real war. Satan thinks he got a foothold. Well, what you do? Because he's got these people trying to approve it in schools and all that kind of stuff. So that's a real big fight. That's a real big war.
So you say the suicide rate is up then among teenagers, yeah. Huh? Among children.
It's high among, especially among the gender identity conflicted individuals. But and among others, there's just so much out there that, like I said, you know, they can't see a future life. They just feel there's no spiritual peace that they're going to ever receive, and they say, what is this, man? I'm not, you know, there's no life in the answer. There's no God I have to be accountable for. Or, you know, they feel that, well, not doing anything for me if there is a God. And so then, you know, just the confusion out there about life and what the meaning of life is and what the purpose is. Yes, and that's why they kind of have these readings in the schools to children, reading in the libraries to children. They want to start impregnating and poisoning that mind as it's developing and trying to make sense of the world, to make sense of their place in the world. This is the battleground. This is the battleground. And I don't like Trump in a lot of ways, but I do support some of the things that the people who support him, like the Proud Boys, have done, and that they have crashed some of these readings that these transgender people try to have for children in the libraries. They've actually crashed and up with those readings, you know? So the conservative viewpoints, you know, Pat Robertson, he passed away recently, and Dr. Charles Stanley, another Christian conservative, he passed away. And you got some Christian conservative that's on the right, you know, that make good sense. But, you know, I think in this liberal media, they don't really let you get that side of things. They always give the opposite side, you know, that liberal, sometimes even Shaitanic side. So there's good in that Republican right morality push. There's some good in that, you know. There's some good in that. But and then with the Democratic, if you know, there can be extremes of liberalism. You could just go too far with what they call freedoms, you know. We want that. We want freedoms. But if you can just go too far with that, and that's why these people can take advantage, like at Dodger Stadium, they had this crazy stuff with these homosexuals that want to imitate nuns, you know. They want to imitate the nuns. And so they didn't have hardly anybody in the stands that day. You know, people were so outraged about that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a war, man. It's a war. And the gender identity crisis that people are going through, the youth, this causes a lot to commit suicide.
Explain a little bit more. Explain a little bit more about the athletic event. You said nobody was in the stands at a baseball game. Was this a baseball game or something? What was this?
Yeah, the Dodgers, you know, this group, the Dodgers initially, they call them, I don't know, the Sisters of I don't know what the name of this group is, but they're, you know, they dress up as nuns, and it's really like a mockery. But what happened is that the Dodgers organization initially rejected their request for recognition, but then some kind of way, somebody got to them, the devil got to them through their representatives, put some pressure on them, and then the Dodgers changed their minds. The Sisters of Indulgence, they call them. They dress up as nuns, make a mockery really as nuns, but these are, you know, drag queens and homosexuals looking like nuns. So they had huge demonstrations outside the stadium, and hardly nobody was inside the stadium. You know, there was more people in the concession stands, you know, who had to just be there to work concession stands, and there were people in the stadium to watch the ball game and the proceedings, you know, to give recognition to these people. So, yeah, it was just a mess. But a lot of people showed up in protest. Even some Jews were out there, and Christian organizations. I don't know. You probably have some Muslims out there protesting, but. This is a crucial point that has to be fought against, and the Democrats, this is one of their weaknesses, in that they're too liberal in approving this stuff and not recognizing that this is just a ploy of the shaitan to rebel against Allah, because the shaitan has promised Allah what he would do, to come before, behind, on the right, and on the left, and said he would not find many that is grateful. So this is just a continuation of the war that Shaitan promised Allah that he would make against Allah's man that he was too proud to bow down to. You know, Adam was too proud. So this is just a tact that Allah said, I mean, that the Shaitan told Allah in a promise that he would make. So, and he's making inroads, and sometimes these politicians, they don't know, not sometimes, but many times, these politicians, these Democratic politicians. The Democratic Party has been, you know, the forefront of civil rights, and we understand that. You know, they've been in the forefront of civil rights, but a lot of these people trying to equate this homosexuality to civil rights, and this is wrong. They're trying to hijack the actual civil rights movement. You know, this is not civil rights. This is just a corruption and a deviation from what Allah Almighty God told man to do in terms of his social and marital relations, you know. So it's just a war of the shaitan against Allah, you know. And there's the people just can't see it that way because shaitan got them blinded.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, you know, Allah, you know, right now, just like Biden, and Biden is doing these things, these very, very liberal things, like signing into law the Juneteenth thing, right? And his, and you know, this LGBT thing, Allah could take care of that. Allah could take care, because as we progress, I'm talking about the Muslims and the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon it. As we progress, more and more people are going to understand the Islamic dictate, and more and more people are going to learn what the Muslims say about LGBTQ and all that kind of stuff like that. So, you know, I don't have to, like you said, I don't have to accept Trump with his, that neo, he's not a neo-Nazi, but he's neo ultra-conservative, whatever it is, you know what I mean? I don't have to accept him, because Allah going to take care, as we become Muslims, and as we do dawah, and more people are just learn the Muslim point of view on these things, Allah take care of it. But I'm thinking, let's accept Joe Biden for the good as he do. I got a picture of him. Amy Goodman did a thing on the Juneteenth. And Biden is on his knee with that African-American old 94-year-old woman who's the mother of Juneteenth in Texas. He's on his knee, bro. He signed that Juneteenth thing into law, you know. And the next step is the next step is reparations, brother. You know what I mean? So I thought about it. I said, yeah, you know, because reparations, you know, when we see these brothers and sisters out on the street, sleeping on the street and stuff like that, man, as much as I love my bed, I get it. If I got to get up and, you know, urinate 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up and after I do that, I wash my hands. I might make a couple of rock cars. Just say those homeless people can't do that, man. They can't do that, man. They outside, man. You know. And a lot of them are clearly mentally ill. And my teaching on that is that it's two things that we need to keep before the public. You know, removal of that Caucasian image, that Christ, let people understand what that is. That's one part. And then reparations, letting people know that they deserve an apology. They deserve someone to acknowledge that they are a human being who has been done real wrong. Those two things are going to heal a lot of those crazy people, man, because when I listen to Akbar and Shuja and Nightman, I listen to them, man, and on the radio, and they be just teaching on that image, and nobody's paying them brothers, man. They just do that stuff from their heart, and it makes me feel real good, and it's kind of like I know I'm benefiting from them. I'm benefiting listening to these brothers day after day teaching on the big lie. You know, that's what Shuja calls it, the big lie that God had a son. You know what I mean? He'd be wailing away at that lie, you know? And that's what it is, man, just a big lie. God had a son, and then they make him a Caucasian, you know? Man, that's healing. That's healing. That's so a let me ask healing you, thing.
No, let me ask you this. Imam, and I agree, man, that this revelation should be of Quran, they called it what, the folklore movement. That was a movement to try and, together with other faiths and other faiths, the good of humanity. But that makes a lot of sense. But also the reality of Allah's revelation has to be made known too. And that's a good work that you're doing, you know, doing Chuja and Akbar. But that reality has to be known as well. You know, it's good to work with the Pope and all these other people that are trying to, you know, think about the common good of society. Of course, that's good to work with good people of faith. But then also, you know, the reality of faith, the dawah, you know, that has to be unapologetically, you know, taught, you know, and that Jesus did not have a son. I mean, excuse me, Allah did not have a son in the name of Jesus. That has to be taught, you know. Yeah, that has to be taught, yeah. Yeah, that's a good word, man.
So you're kind of asking about
how great he is.
In other words, okay, so you're asking about our alliance with the folklore people.
Oh, yeah,
and they're Catholics.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just to work with people that have common good in mind, regardless of their faith. That's just common sense, you know. You got people want to stand up against crime and injustice and, you know, all the other vices that the society has, and then lock arms with them spiritually. That's only common sense. But then too, as well. That lie that they're going along with, that has to be exposed too, you know, all those pictures of the white images, the white statues, and the Mary, the mother of God, and all that kind of stuff has to be exposed as well. So it's two fronts, you know. It's one where, you know, you got to kind of work with people of common sense that want to stand up against vice and crime, but also you got to stand up against what they represent, you know, because that's another psychological crime that's perpetrated against society. So, war on two fronts.
But you know something? Right, you know something? Alhamdulillah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You know, yeah, I can hear you.
By us having that relationship that with folklore people and these Catholic people, but that is getting and you know, it's only one brother I know who's really keeping that relationship up, and that's Imam Mikhail Sahir, the one who wrote the book Elijah Muhammad, the man behind the men.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Imam Mikhail Sahir, who wrote the book. Yeah, he still keeps that relationship with the folklore going, you know what I mean? And he's the only one that I know. But that relationship that we have with the folklore is probably getting around to a lot of Catholics. And this is probably giving these Catholics an opportunity to listen to, an opportunity to look at Islam, you know? And they, you know, they might be saying, you know, what, you know, what's the difference of in these Muslims and us? And they're going to see that we don't have no images. Now, see, a lot of those Catholics come up in their life from children, from child, from babies, looking at images, thinking that that's the way religion is. That's the way it is, because I was born Catholic, and I was born looking at Caucasian Christ and the Caucasian Mary and the Caucasian Moses and all this and they're going to say, you know, we have a relationship with these Muslims, what these Muslims believe. And more those Catholics, man, are just going to say, you know, I don't think this images is right. I don't think that's right. So when Islam came in contact with them other religions, brother, the people converted, man. They converted, man. You know what I mean? They converted, man. They can't stand up to that truth. You know, they're going to say, man, we don't need no, that's not right, even though Jesus looked like me. It ain't right. They're going to know it ain't right. So by Imam Muhammad creating that allegiance, in time, brother, it's going to, more than Catholics are going to convert out of that madness. You know?
Yeah, especially that. I see, you see those, that picture on the wall they call the Virgin of Guadalupe. I never did read about it to see just what that was about, that picture that they have up on the wall. You see them, you know, in the Hispanic community, they call it the Virgin of Guadalupe. I know you know what I'm talking about. I never did read up on her and what she was supposed to have done to have attained that kind of recognition, you know? Don't know. I don't know. I guess I don't know if she was like. I really don't know. I guess she was supposed to be a saint. I don't know. They supposed to pray to her or something like that. I really don't know. I hadn't taken the time to really. Maybe I'll look that up just to be educated about it, you know. But that's another image that they just paint all over the walls in certain neighborhoods, you know.
You know, it makes me, hold up a second. Makes me think of that saying by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said something about, what did he say about if you had a clean glass of water and a dirty glass of water, you put the clean glass next to the dirty glass, right? And the people could see the dirty glass. And they're going to choose the clean glass, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what I think, and that's what I think the folklore movement, the meaning of the folklore movement, the Islam is the clean glass. And the Catholicism, that Catholicism is the dirty glass. And Muhammad said, the people are going to choose the clean glass. And that's what he meant. I think that applies. Islam is the clean glass. You know what I mean? Islam is the clean glass. And that Catholicism and stuff, with them images and them lies, that's dirty glass. So, Imam, he told us, no, let's keep this allegiance with the folklore up. Yeah, the clean glass and the dirty glass. Yeah, man. I'm real surprised nobody called in, man. I did a whole lot of text, man. I text a lot of people. And so far, about an hour has passed, and there's nobody but me and you. But inshallah, Java?
Well, they said according to what I've heard, and you know, Allah knows best, the teachings of Noah, they said that Noah taught almost 900 years or something like that. His teachings was available and only got about 85 or 80 to 90 followers after all them years. Okay, well, it's about up now, 559. All right, brother.
Okay, you going to leave?
Well, yeah, it's up at 6 o'clock, right?
Well, the reparations come now.
Oh,
you know, the school was the first hour.
Oh, okay. Well, I mentioned that to one sister that I know, man, about what they were about in Frisco, and she said, they're gonna give out no money like that.
She said what?
The government is not gonna give out any money like that. You know, the $5 million.
Uh huh. Oh yes, they are. Yes, they are. I'm confident. I'm real confident. Yeah. It's coming, brother. It's coming. Yeah. It's really, really coming, man. We're going to get justice. Hey, this country, man, is bigger than what we think it is. This country is a whole lot greater than what we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother. Praise be to Allah.
And that Juneteenth,
man, really, 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 really added to our cause. Yeah, let me see. Yeah. You know, At the post office,
you know, the people can't mail them any mail after, you know, after the post office closes, right? And I'd be telling people that if you ride down a couple of these streets over here, you'll see a mailbox on the outside. That's the only way you can mail them. Mail, man, because I don't know why they don't let people mail, man. They lock the doors and there ain't no mailbox out on the street or nothing. You know.
Oh, they don't have those mailboxes in the back anymore?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe people were damaging those mailboxes, pulling stuff in there, damaging people's mail. I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, man, I was coming up and getting in elementary school, man. This guy, he would light some paper and light some fire, put the light up to the paper, and then. You know,
yeah.
So maybe, you know, people would pour acid down there, or, you know, pour water down there, just, you know, definitely, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, a soda pop. Yeah, I remember a girl, she poured some soda pop into a mailbox.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah,
about it.
I would never do it, you know. I thought this guy was a bad guy. So. Light the paper and put it down in the mailbox, you know.
Yeah, man. So, what are your concerns for the reparations?
Oh, well, you know, I just don't know what it takes to make it a reality. You know, there's talk, and I understand you have to, everything starts with, you know, concepts of the mind, but how to make that a reality, man, where you, you know, you receive money, that part, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody's poor. I mean, I imagine, you know, if you're African-American, you know, I can't see anybody that's against it, but to make it work, I mean, you know, how to get it, that's another thing, you know. I mean, we already got enough people that's poor, you know, so, I mean, like me, it's like preaching to the choir. So we already know, yeah, man, everybody want it, not us. How to make it reality? That's the deal. That's the thing. How do you make it a reality? You know, if we got everybody for it, just about 90% of the people, I would imagine, from what I heard, you know, statistics. 80 to 90% of black people for it. The only ones that would be against it, and you, every now and then you hear somebody like Armstrong Williams or Larry Elder or some of those forward-thinking right wingers, you know. But everybody, the common balanced-minded people are for it. But how to make it a reality, that's the thing.
When's the last time you heard Armstrong Williams?
I hadn't heard Armstrong Williams, but except it was his name was mentioned in one of the reparations programs I was listening to on the internet, and they were saying that, you know, most people, everybody poor, except, you know, people like Armstrong Williams and, you know, some of the other black conservatives, probably he used to be the black RNC chairman, what's his name? You know, people like that, you know, and probably Herschel Walker, probably from before, you know. The people like that, you know? Yeah, but they're a minority, you know.
Yeah, I can't. You know, I really can't see any African American going against reparations, because to me, it's almost like they're going against God, because God says justice, you know.
Yeah, because
God stood up for justice.
Yeah. Clarence, I'm pretty sure Clarence Thomas would be against it. Clarence Thomas, Armstrong Williams, what was the black Republican chairman before a few years ago?
What was his name? I forgot his name.
Yeah. Well, it'll come up, and him, and, you know, others of that, you know. And the officer Tatum that come on? He'd be against it, and you know, officer Tatum. All these guys, man, have really, you know, people like that. They're in a minority, but you got them.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. In this the more and more, you know, and Jews got money from the Germans. The Jews got money from the Germans, and Japanese got money for the internment. So Larry Elder would be against reparations? I would like to hear their argument, you know? I know it's stupid, but I would like to hear it, though. Yeah, I really like what Biden did, man. Man. Actually, he was signing the reparations bill, man. The reparations bill, when he signed that.
Signing the bill is one thing, but getting it passed through, the Senate and all of it to become law, that's another thing, you know. Huh? Oh, okay.
Huh? Did you say something?
No, I was just talking. The thing is that the president signed a bill, but it can be vetoed. You know, in order to get to make it law, it has to go past Congress and then the Senate. You know, most of those senators, you know, I mean, the Republican, I can't see the Republican Senate approving reparations for African Americans, man. I can't see no white people, you know, man.
Is that right?
A lot of these black Democratic senators. You know, some of them will, but the majority, man, I can't see the majority voting for reparations, especially the white Republican senators and a lot of the black, white Democratic senators, man. You know, in order for it to become law, to make it law, man, you gotta have. And they represent their districts of people. They want to get reelected. And a lot of these people, man, in their district are white folks. You know, they got to represent their constituency. And a lot of these white folks, man, I mean, I'm just looking at it not negatively, but I'm looking at it in what I think is reality, what you're really facing, you know. You know, we only, what, about 13, 14, at most 15% of the population, and people vote their interests,
uh-huh.
you know, in order to stay elected, you know, these people, they vote their constituency's interests. And even if, let's say, you get a president, even if Biden signed it today, black folks should have reparations equal in. Each one should get $1 million or $2 million, three or whatever it is. It's got to be approved. You know, got to approve by the House and the Senate. The Senate is the last, and then they have a filibuster get up and I just can't see these old white folks. Then they got to represent their district, and big majority of white people, man, they ain't for no reparations, man. They got to get evicted, you know, and then they know, man, if they vote for reparations, number one, their conscience is not with that. Yeah, are you there? As-salamu alaykum.
We got that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Amin.
Yeah. Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Here's what you have to understand. The reparations is built into Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, hello? I can hear you good. I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Building the American Rescue Act. That is the reparation. Y'all have to understand, right now, the money is only coming to the black communities, period. That is the reparation. They can never do it like that. They've created opportunity and these opportunities, and they know that white people have been stealing money. What y'all have to remember is it is not about white people. It's about the government serves everybody. So right now, any kind of grants you're writing for, they're making it so easy to get grants. The first phase, they did it under the guise of COVID. But if you, what you need to do right now is set up your paperwork for your school. You got all your paperwork in place. You got your board. They will give you money to find a building. Y'all got to stop complaining and start finding out what's available for you. It's all available. I know for a fact. That's all I want to add.
You say the American Rescue Act?
The American Rescue Plan. Google it.
American Rescue Plan.
But now I think they changed it to 10. But everybody that I know that's getting funded right now, they're not going to ever say this publicly. Don't expect that. Because to say it publicly is to admit fault. What we have to understand about this government is that they don't want to admit fault, because if they admit fault, then they can be brought up on charges at the UN. It's not that they don't know that we're right. They know we're right. So we have to be smart enough to understand that it's a strategic way to do this. And I'm giving you the information. Go Google Economic Opportunity Plan LA County. There's so much money coming through the pipeline right now. I don't got time to have no conversations about no reparations. I'm too busy putting myself in a position to collect checks. That's the only way you're going to help people, with checks. You can't help them with heart. You need money. And there's so much money for the arts, for the STEM, for the schools, for this, for that. But I'm going to tell you something. They're looking at people's reputation. They're looking at, have you been working in the community already? They're looking at who sits on your board. Is your paperwork legitimate? Did you pass all the steps? I've been doing this now for over 20 years. I worked with other nonprofit organizations. And then in 2020, I filed my own. So I wouldn't say something that I didn't know about. Now's the time, brother. Get your paperwork in order.
Right. You know something? What you're saying makes sense. What you're saying makes it look, what you're saying then that if you got some type of venture, some type of activity, some type of plan, you know, you could get funding for it real easily. I can understand that logic.
You will get funding.
I really can't
I know people that bought the block. They raised $9 million. And then the city gave them more. You have to understand that people in my age group, we not playing out here. They the ones getting the money, my age group.
Mm-hmm.
$9 million.
I see.
Okay? And I'm talking about people that have been out of prison less than 3 years. So if they giving them money, it's because they know that they know what they're talking about when it comes to saving these children. I don't care about anything other than these children. There's so much money coming through the pipeline. You got money for restoring people's houses. You got money for beautifying gardens. You got to remember, the Olympics are coming. White folks don't want no kids getting robbed. They making sure that black people got the money. Imagine how much money they're going to make in 2028. You think they're... Nah, they don't. Now's the time for us to stop whining and complaining and get educated. All we should be talking about is go to school. Why do you think you got two free years at the junior college right now? They know what they're doing. They're doing it in a way where they don't admit fault. And I'm going to add this, and no one knows yet, it's not public. South L.A., what is that, the junior college? Is it called South L.A. Junior College? Southwest Junior College is about to be an HBCU, okay? You don't know what HBCU is?
You're right.
Oh, what is it? I'm asking.
Tell them what HBCU is. Historically black
college
university. To name that HBCU. So what that means is black children will not leave California anymore to go to an HBCU because they see our children want to go to HBCUs. They took a delegation of black educators at the junior college level to Ghana. When have they ever done that? Never. Right now is the perfect time for us to work with the Hispanics because Hispanic leadership, yeah, they did stuff to put Hispanics over us. I'm going to tell you something. The smart Hispanics, they know better. And we already know they're going to always put black women in position. We got to get our houses in order. Stop fighting with each other and working together. It don't matter who takes the lead right now. Save these babies. And Muslims need schools. Period. We're not sending our children to these schools where they're teaching this LGBTQ agenda. Now is the time. If we don't see that now is the time, we just sitting around complaining. Allah has spoke and he opened it up. Now what else we gonna ask?
Right. Yeah, well, it makes sense. It makes sense.
If you got a project,
instead of program.
No, what you got to do now on your radio show is you have to shift the narrative. Reparations is embedded into this act. Your American Rescue Plan. Go start a business. Get your house in order. Get your children in school. That's the conversation you have now. Because when that door closes, it's closing. You might have a 10, 20, 30 window to turn this around. It takes 30 years to put everything in position, and then the next 30 years, we're going to see it. So 60 to 75 years it took for them to make it as bad as it is right now. You got time. Get it done. Do the work. Real simple. Do the work. I'm not one for a whole lot of talking. I'd be too busy doing the work.
Right. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Like
yes,
I said,
ma'am.
You Google it and you go on LA Campus Economic Opportunity and you can find all the resources. Remember, they know we want schools and they know we don't like this. They know we're going to leave and go to the Republican Party. You got to know that. That's the one thing that's going to split the black vote is homosexuality. And the Republican Party is ready to let him know. Why do you think Donald Trump just said, yeah, you ain't got no way over here, and I ain't losing nothing coming with me? People talk about Trump, they do not look at his policies. He did a lot and gave a lot of money for reentry, especially the federal prison. They all know that they did. CIA gave them drugs and they're going to turn around and put them in jail. They know what they're getting. So we got to be smart enough to go get this money. It's that simple. It ain't that complex. I know too many guys that I've met over the past few weeks that went to federal prison. They're running programs and they're doing good work. Now, obviously, 20 years ago, people were taking mistakes. They don't know what to do, but now they're a little bit more seasoned. So I'm talking about people in the prison should help people that have been in prison. People who are educators should help set up these schools. You don't start mixing people in all these different names, right? If you've been in trouble, you ought to help a kid stay out of trouble, don't you?
Right.
So, you know, and Karen Bass raised the wages for intervention prevention people. They went from $30,000 to $60,000 a year. Y'all sit in these private meetings with these people. That's why I can tell you this. I was in a private meeting when Karen Bass told us that. Black Lives Matter is doing a lot of work behind the scenes. People don't know this. Just gotta go ahead and get in where you're sitting and see what you like to see. Over there at, the Lao Islamic Center, they got money to build a school. Why you not talking to them? They getting ready to add on to that. They got a lot of buildings that they're gonna start doing. They keep trying to get me to come over there and sit on their board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling you, they getting money to build a school. So that's where you start. And then you get them to implement your idea. We gotta start, like, not letting kids stop us from going where we need to. Every time you turn around, we're splitting off. It's making us weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm not saying people's reasoning isn't correct. But I'm saying we get attached sometimes because a lot of us see how we're going to feel. Are we going to come back together and work together for a common goal? It ain't to be Pakistani get along. They just don't split. They fight and argue like the rest of us. We ain't no different. We human beings. We're going to fight. We're going to not like people. We're going to like to stay. We're not going to agree with them. At the end of the day, it's not about those individuals. It's about the next children. It's a bunch of people I don't really particularly care for. But I still let my son go over to my mom. I will never step foot in. Because all the children his age are over there. Why would I isolate him? Got to be smart. It's just that was my plan. I'm really going to treat people, but you're not going to mistreat your child. So let him go over there and see him. And I'll leave. That kid is in the masjid. My son is in the masjid. Period. Friday night, masjid. Saturday, another masjid. Sunday, another masjid. Everything you do is tied to a different masjid. Is that what we wanted? What they wanted in these places is getting the solid. And they got to learn how to deal with conflict. Got to know how to resolve conflict. But if you don't know how to resolve conflict as adults, how do you expect?
Sounds good. Look here, Rashad, why is there so much distortion on your phone?
Oh, I had it plugged in because the battery is low.
Okay, okay, you got it plugged into the wall?
Yeah, you know, the battery is low. When I plug it in, it puts on distortion.
Yeah, it's okay now. I hear you good. But I was interested in what the sister was saying. I was interested in what she was saying.
Oh, what I said is that. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I hear you good now.
Oh, okay. I'm basically saying that there's funding available for certain zip codes. Those zip codes, they labeling them COVID zip codes because that's the only way they're going to keep these white folks quiet. You understand? It's very strategic.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying if you in this zip code being impacted by COVID, that's all of our zip codes over here, okay? They calling it COVID money under the American Rescue Plan. American Rescue Act.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those, because every black
John Notice getting money, they said, this is our reparations. They're giving millions of dollars because they have to. They know what they've done to our community. So rather than, you know, like, I'm not a person that's going to publicly say, oh, you did this, you did. I'm not doing none of that. I'm going to go get the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I can help the children that come into my office. I'm getting ready to open up an office. Mashallah. Now, my office is going to impact maybe somewhere between 30 and 50 children that come into the program, depending on how many stay, you know? But I'm targeting students that make 3.5 GPA and higher. Because when you want your program to be a success, you have to start with the highest achievers. Then in year 4 or year 5, you go after the ones with the IEPs where you got enough money to give them the services they need. See, that's where they messed up. You can't target children who are at the bottom with all these disabilities and you don't even have people trained to do it. And you can get in a lot of trouble because the federal laws state that a child that got an IEP, they're supposed to get one-on-one. So these people just popping up at these schools and know what they're doing is not a good look. So you want to have, right now is a good time because you got a lot of sisters who have retired who are educators. I met a sister, Sister Lee, the imam's wife, the one that passed away over there at Long Beach. See, the women are doing a whole lot of work. We meeting each other. I can't speak for other people, but I just did a project. We called it the Resilient Toolkit. It was a mental health component to teach the Muslim women how to deal with stress. I just did that project about 2 months ago, and we got paid to do it. But my phone keeps ringing. Oh, Hakika, can you be a part of this? Because I heard you was over here at this project, and we want you on this project. So you got to get in the mix of things with the people that's doing the work. And you might have to patch up some relationship and be okay with that, you know? You're stronger if you're not standing alone. We've all had fallouts for different reasons. I think that we need to recognize that falling out is not going to help us. We need to patch things up. We can save these babies out here. Otherwise, we're going to be suspended for another 30 years. I mean, that's the best advice I could give you. If I know who's getting money already, you got to go talk to them, and they'll teach you how to do it. Or maybe you work with them, and then you spin off and do your own school. But if we're not all working together, it doesn't look good. You know, it just doesn't. It just looks like more of the same. And we got to build right now. We've lost so many generations and so many years. I think about Imam Ayman's grandson. We lost him. He's sitting up in jail for a crime he didn't commit. Didn't even find a body. And they got that boy to plead to 19 years. The Muslims should have been on them so tough. But then this year, a young lady we knew, she ended up in a domestic violence situation in Atlanta. The boyfriend pulled a gun on her. She killed him. They kept her in jail for 2 weeks, released her. So we got to be paying attention to what's going on, you know? It's a lot of work to do, is my point. So we're not going to get no work.
More and more people is coming on the line, so you keep rolling with the information. Just come on, you know.
Okay.
All praise be to Allah.
The American Rescue Act is also the American Rescue Plan. And then that's where there's, you know, information about funding. But then you have to go through L.A. County, L.A. City. You got to meet with the mayor because she's committed. And you got to meet with your local city council people. You find out who your supervisory person is. And you get involved. That's what it's going to take to turn this around. You got to be involved. You have to do the work. You have to put our ego to the side and do the work. Mm-hmm. You can't worry about it over the last 40 years.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying we can't worry about what happened over the last 30 years. We got to make sure we do something so the next 30 years we're actually getting it done. Muslims are working.
So your reasoning is that it's money's already out here waiting for us, but they can't say it's reparations and stuff. They can't admit guilt or anything, but it's money out here. If you got some type of program, if you got some type of plan, go ahead and do it and file for some type of funding, and you'll get the funding easily. Well, that makes sense.
Well,
makes sense.
There, the first thing to do is have paperwork in order, because that is the biggest problem also in our community. We'll have a great idea, but it's not legally filed. You don't have your paperwork. There's 10 steps to becoming a nonprofit. 10 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And if you miss one of steps, you will not get funding.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing for our people to do is go through one of these business source centers. If they don't know how to file their legal entity paperwork, then they're still lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to know
mm-hmm.
how to file that paperwork, and that starts with sitting with someone who knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Your person.
Let me ask you this. I met a sister, a young sister the other day, and she was saying that, a lot of people know about a 501c3, but she says, but they need to learn about a 501c3 1A. So do you know what that 1A is? The 501c3, then 1A after that.
I mean, I can look it up. There's a bunch of different ones. My organization is a 501c3, works for what I'm doing. I don't have a religious organization, but I'm a state and a federal nonprofit. So, again, it depends on what you're doing. All you got to do is look it up on the state website. It will give you the explanation of all the different types. Some of them have to do with, politics. Some of them have to do with education. You just got to read and look it up. And don't be afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes let our fear stop us from the work. You got to power through that and stay the course. No matter what age you are, we need help. It's called intergenerational.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new term, intergenerational, because they know everybody's been impacted by what has gone on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So now we focus on getting healing. There's all this money for healing. There's an organization called SD Justice. What they do is they take women who have loved ones who are incarcerated, and they train them. They train them how to become facilitators to teach other women how to heal from that. And then they learn advocacy. Then they spin off and they work with these different organizations. They write initiatives. I mean, it's a lot of work happening. I just know it's women that's doing the work right now. And all these organizations, they come together. They just had something in the Lamar Park where they had free massages. They had yoga. They had information right in Lamar Park. So people got to get off these phones and get on Instagram so they can see these ads. But right now we're in a digital age. No one's talking about it on the phone. They're sharing flyers on social media. Or they're sharing it among their friend group and their colleague group. So, matter of fact, I got some information on what's called a mortgage relief. I sent it to everybody that I know that own buildings. Because my focus is housing. Because if you don't have somewhere to live, how are you going to stabilize yourself, right? Everything starts with having a place to live.
Right.
And then everything is interconnected, right? So, again, the people I know I got an email from my supervisor's office because I deal with their deputy on homelessness and housing. I get all the emails that pertain to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pass them on to people that
mm-hmm.
I know that are in programs or people that I know
mm-hmm.
with property. So this mortgage relief is like
mm-hmm.
you have 1 to 4 units. It's something that LA County is doing to give them relief. So you've got to stay in the
mm-hmm.
room.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay
right,
in the know.
Okay, hold your line 1 second. If anybody else wants to weigh in on this conversation, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone. I'll bring you in if you want to ask a question or make a comment. You know, press 1 on your phone, and I'll see you in the queue, and we'll let you in. But right now we're getting some information from a sister here in the neighborhood. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please.
So moving forward, everyone should find out who their local politicians are. Once you have the legal entity
mm-hmm.
paperwork, you can file for what's called a funding request. A funding request is how you get into the cycle. Because if you're in the cycle,
mm-hmm.
then you learn about other grants. So that is the easiest way, I believe, to get started. You know, you may ask for $10,000, $20,000. They may give you half of what you ask for. But at least you got something to start with, right? Everybody's situation
right.
is different, so can't speak to how much they will get in terms of funding. It has to do with how organized they are in their thought process and their logic. I suggest that you work with people who are already in place. For example, my program, I run it through the Parks and Rec because they already have the statistical data, right? So why would I reinvent
mm-hmm.
the wheel?
Correct.
If I want children, I go to my local area and I say, hey, park director, I would like to volunteer. And then they'll tell you where they have a need. And then you find your niche. Or you go to LAUSD. Hey, LAUSD, I'm an educator. I would love to be a vendor. And you become a vendor. We need to
mm-hmm.
be writing text. That's our biggest place where we're lacking. We should write textbooks because who's going to tell our history?
Mm-hmm.
And every child is not going to go to an Islamic school. Are we only looking out for our children? Or are we looking out for all children, right? And then we can
mm-hmm.
advocate
okay.
for Saturday school. Every other culture learns about their culture on Saturday. Why aren't we doing that? I've been talking about this for years. My children go to school on Saturdays. You know, at least my eldest did. And it worked. Self-love is the key. You don't love yourself. You don't feel worthy. You don't understand your culture. You're trying to, you know, our children are out here scrambling because they've been so affected by mass incarceration. And then, you know, we have food deserts and giving them all this fast food. All that stuff impacts you in a not-so-healthy way. So that's why the push for healthy food, healthy families, fruits and vegetables, you know, tell people about the programs that exist. Those programs originated by the Black Panthers, and even though they don't say that, those of us who were alive during that time, I mean, I was a benefactor of those programs. And so what the government does is they take the program and they build it into what's happening. They don't give Huey P. Newton any credit for what he did. But anybody that knows, they know. He's the reason why you got free school breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an idea that works along with what's already in place to make it a better program, why reinvent the wheel? Just go in and fix a program
mm-hmm.
that you think is working. Make it better. our elderly people can teach these young people. They can go volunteer, and then they can get on salary at the Parks and Rec. Our children do not want other races of people over them anymore. That's why they're so rebellious now. They don't like that. And they're very vocal about it. Mm-hmm. And we need to listen to them. They're tired. You know, these children are still being called the N-word today in a school setting, and everybody's pretending like it's not happening. This is what our children are going through. They're being terrorized every day when they're the minority in a school. I don't care what group it is. They are being terrorized when they are the minority in these schools. So why are they not protecting our children? Because we're not speaking up. And by the time we do speak up, our people sometimes are so angry, we're ineffective. We got to pull the emotions out of this. Be very matter of fact. This is what I expect. Because you get X amount of dollars from the federal government for each child. And my child deserves a proper education as long as they are in this institution. I mean, the fact that they know there's a black achievement gap means they know they created it. Would you agree with that statement? There is a black achievement gap. LAUSD has private calls with black parents talking about this, which means they know it's a problem. Now, will they admit to participating in the problem? Never. We got to be involved. It's just that simple.
Assalamualaikum. Are you there? Assalamu alaikum.
All right, assalamu alaikum. All right, this is Ami, brother Ami. Okay, yeah. The things happened, and the call was dropped, and we had a sister on the air giving her talk about they're giving out reparations in another way. It's not called reparations. They don't want to admit guilt, but they're making it where if you're a 501c3 and, you know, you could get, you get money, you get funding for your operation. So, alhamdulillah, this is our show. Reparations in memory of our ancestors. This is our show. And, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So, spread the word. Let people know. We're going to talk about reparations and getting money, getting funding, and everything we need. We are really building here in Los Angeles. We're building here in Los Angeles. Crazy. So, yes, praise be to Allah. We were talking, and a sister was saying that they're giving out reparations already if you have a program. She was saying, it's her opinion, that they don't want to admit guilt. So what they're doing is they're making it easy. If you've got a program, 501c3, and you got a program, you could get funding for your program. And that's their form. In other words, they're giving out money. But they don't want to just say it's reparations money because they don't want to admit guilt. They don't want to admit guilt. So I can understand where she's coming from. But this is a good show because we're talking about the money now. We're talking about reparations, something that's owed us. And we're getting a lot of points of view and opinions and stuff. So all praise be to Allah. You know, all praise be to Allah. And if anybody want to say something or ask a question, we only got about another 10 minutes of broadcast time. So if somebody want to ask a question or make a statement, press 1 on your phone. And we'll see your hand go up here in the studio, and we'll bring you in. But, yeah, this is reparations in memory of our ancestors. Reparations in memory of our ancestors. And my name is Amin Muhammad. I sent out a lot of texts. I'm surprised a lot more people are not on the line. But in time, inshallah, they will be, you know, because this is, talking about reparations is what is owed us is very important. Very important. Yeah, very important and very needed, very necessary. Very necessary. Let's see what we got going here. Oh, all right, bro. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes. So, if somebody want to comment or ask a question, press 1 on your phone. We'll see your hand and spread the word. Let people know what we're doing, what we're saying. We're starting off with the Claire Muhammad School, information about the school, and then we're going into reparations. So spread the word. Let people know how to contact us. It's the same number as the program. A message of concern. It's the same number, you know, crazy to Allah. So, we're expanding, we're growing, and we're getting a little bit more information about this situation here. but I know we're old reparations, you know, and it was this sister's opinion that they're giving out reparations, but they're not calling it reparations. They're not calling it because if they call it reparations, they're admitting guilt. They're admitting guilt, and they don't want to admit guilt because it opens up a whole new thing. But they're, you know, alhamdulillah. So, yeah, this is a reparations in memory of our ancestors. And that term was coined by a sister named Molly Bell here in Los Angeles, who used to always start off her comments because she used to be on talk radio a lot. And when it was her time to talk, she used to start her talk by saying, "Reparations in memory of our ancestors." You know, it used to be a brother here. He passed now, named Mr. Peoples. And he used to, on the back of his truck, he had built a slave ship. It was a ship that he used to have on the back of his truck. And whenever it was an event here, he'd show up like a conference on something, or a conference on whatever, and he used to show up with his truck, and he had that slave ship that he used to, you know, have. And he's dead now, Mr. Peoples. And him and Molly Bell used to talk about reparations in memory of our ancestors. And I told Molly, I said, "Molly, I'm going to take that slogan and call this radio show we got going, Reparations in Memory of Our Ancestors." And I think that hits it. You know, that hits it pretty good. Praise be to Allah. Yes, yes. So spread the word, let people know this is what we're talking about. And I had a quote by, let me see this, if I can pull this quote up. I think I can pull this quote up. By the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He says, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is in his book called Message to the Black Man. Let me pull, because I'm driving, and let me pull over so I can read this. And, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, "We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich." He say not only the land, but it must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory 20 to 25 years until we are able to reduce and supply our own needs. Let me read that again. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that the and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. That Elijah. Alhamdulillah. So this is we're coming down to the last seconds of our show. If anybody wants to comment, press one on your phone. We'll bring you in if you want to comment or ask a question. We have maybe another 5 minutes or so. I'm pretty sure all the money that we pay Blog Talk Radio, they won't mind if we take out another 5 minutes or so. So press one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue. But this has been kind of like a nice show. A sister came on the show, and she was saying they're already giving out people reparations in the form of funding for their nonprofits and the 501c3s and everything. And she says, you just got to have a program. You got to have a program going. Assalamu alaikum, 834-3070. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. You generate that, you know, I believe that's the way, because I can never see these white Republicans as a general voting for a federal reparations deal where they gonna say, okay, every black person get $3 million in the country. I could never see that. But this way, whereas you could have grants, get a program, they'll give you some money for your program that you have, you know. They'll filibuster that bill. I don't think it'll never pass this climate, you know, unless all these people die out and all the senators become African American. It might work that way, but the way that the House and Senate is today, and pull into the future that I can see, and we just 12, 13, maybe 15% of the population at most, about 13%, I can't see it that way. But yeah, to have a program funded, you know, that way, you know, that I can see it working that way, but I know these white Republicans, they're not going to pass a bill. Even if they wanted to, they'd filibuster it. No, it ain't going to happen that way. But this way, I can see it working, you know, through some type of program and grants.
Well, another component of the group here, because I have this group called American Self-Help and Reparations Party. American Self-Help, and it's the acronym is ASHRP, American Self-Help and Reparations Party. And, Brother Rashad, I hear that distortion again. What's your phone? Plugged into the wall, right?
Yeah, my battery's going to play out.
Yeah, trying to plug it. Okay. Well, okay, but let me just say this, if you could hear this. We need to learn, as more and more people call in, we need to learn who our politicians are in each state. If they're against reparations, we are against them. If they're for reparations, we are for them. And we could put all of our weight and everything and our prayers into getting them out of office if they're not in favor of reparations. We'll pray and we'll do everything and fast and whatever it takes. Whoever do not believe that we deserve reparations after 400 years of slavery and Jim Crow and lynching and castration and mass incarceration, anybody, Larry Elder, whoever, if
they're against reparations, we are against them. And as we grow, we're going to throw everything we can at them, you know, get them out of office if they're not in favor. If they're in favor of reparations, we'll help them, inshallah. And so, all right, so, alhamdulillah, brother Shuja, can you lead us out in prayer? Can I bring you in and lead us out in prayer? And until tonight when we have a message of concern, we'll talk tonight. Brother Shuja, can you lead us out in prayer?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to have to apologize to you. Also, I was on another program, and yes. I just shot right by me. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy mercy and grace, not of those whom thy wrath has brought down, not those who go astray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, until tonight, assalamu alaikum. Everybody have a good day, and we'll talk tonight. And spread the word, please.
Yeah.